like to welcome everyone. It is good to see and hear everyone visiting. I trust that God bless us in the hour ahead. Let's take a few moments and prepare our hearts before the Lord as Valerie plays through a song for us. Thank you, Valerie. I would like to welcome everyone today. We have friends who are visiting today. Some of you may have already met, and I'm sure some have not. Then also, John and Robin are visiting over here, traveling through, I guess, and it's good to have them join us as they are on the road. It should be an encouragement to everybody. You don't take a vacation from our spiritual needs and nourishment, so we need it every day, whether we're traveling or not. Trust and obey, number 385. Joshua, please lead us, brother.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, He abides with us. trust and obey.
Well, thank you for your good singing, everyone. We'll begin in prayer. And, of course, what a privilege it is to go before God's throne of grace, into the very throne room of God. Let's never take that for granted, but enjoy a moment together right now in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I do thank you for your grace to us, that you are worthy of all of our worship and honor and reverence. Oh, Father God, may we think right for your honor and glory and speak right in everything we do. May it be that which pleases you. Father God, I ask you too that in this service, as we participate together in singing, as we just did, in opening of the scriptures, in observance of the Lord's Supper, in giving and fellowship, Father, in every aspect, I ask you that we would truly worship you. You deserve it. Thank you for providing for us the means that we can come into your very throne room. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, shed his blood for the remission of our sins and died on the cross as a substitute for us. As the scripture says, he was buried, but on the third day rose again. And whoever believes in him has been given by you forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Father God, I ask you that as we remember that in observance of the Lord's Supper together, we would also consider, has that decision been made personal between any individual here and you? Father, you know the hearts of everyone, and I ask you that if someone has not made that decision, that today would be the day they do make that decision personal between themselves and you. And Father God, I ask you that each one would make sure that we would truly honor you as we remember what Christ has done for us on the cross in the observance of the Lord's Supper. Thank you again for everyone who is here. Father, we do love you and thank you for your incredible grace to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Number 582.
My Lord, the coming may be soon. It could be morning, night, or noon. And when I'll watch and work and pray, when he comes, I'll go home there to stay. Maybe today, my Lord,
everyone to stand and take your Bible in hand and open it to Psalm 16 as Sean reads verses 5 through 11. Psalm 16.
Good morning.
Psalm 16, beginning in verse 5, says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Thy lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore."
Amen. King David knew that God would not leave his soul in the grave. He would be raised again someday. Let's remain standing and sing "Christ Returneth" 584. And open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as we proceed one verse at a time through this delightful chapter in our Bibles. The other day at the church pavilion, Gary and I met, enjoyed Bible study together, and we talked about the moral decline in the United States of America, among many things, right, Gary? What's the real state of the Union, by the way? Certainly not as healthy as we once were. America, you know, and I know, has a great history. It was more moral and ethical and fair and capitalistic in our heritage than most countries in the world. Due to the biblical principles applied to the laws of our land. So, here's my political plug for the day. Vote according to Bible principles and get rid of socialists, okay? Tomorrow is Labor Day. And, of course, it's kind of the last hurrah for summer for those enjoying outdoor recreation and also those who have Labor Day sales. Labor Day is a legal holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September in the United States, Puerto Rico, and the Canal Zone and the Virgin Islands. The celebration of Labor Day was initiated in honor of the working class in the United States in 1882 by the Knights of Labor. In 1884, the group held a parade on the first Monday of September and passed a resolution to hold all future parades on that day and to designate the day as Labor Day. In March 1887, the first law to that effect was passed in Colorado, followed by New York, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. In 1894, the United States Congress made the day a legal holiday. I hope you enjoy the day tomorrow, but don't forget the Lord God who has provided for you. As I pray in a moment, here's a tidbit of information. I rarely write out my prayers. I do sometimes. But for today, I have. Let's go together before God's throne in prayer. Please bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, your word says in Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As your children and Americans, we confess to you that we have not held fast our profession as we ought. All around us, O God, are those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, as your prophet Isaiah foretold. We live among a people who openly publish their hatred of all things holy, righteous, and just. They hate the Bible, your holy word. They hate Bible-believing Christians. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate the very God who made them. And they hate truth and have called moral decency that which must prevail, while they are neither moral nor decent. Moreover, Lord, we are surrounded by many who worship anything but you, those who embrace gender perversions, while hating anyone who lives as you intended by holding marriage as sacred between one man and one woman. And nearly half of our nation promote the murder of unborn babies and calling it my body, my choice, but ignoring the little person whose choice for life is not granted and snuffed out. We are lied to when we are told that marijuana and CBD is healthy and non-addictive and will raise millions of dollars to improve our schools. And, Lord God, our public schools are now shelters for children whose minds are being warped by teachers and faculty who tell them that they need gender-altering surgeries, mutilating their bodies to be anything they want to be without their parents' consent. And Father in heaven, you've told us to work with our own hands and provide for our own, but that is being ridiculed with hatred. Our nation is now rewarding laziness, giving more to those who stay home with socialized programs, and the Constitution of our country with its moral, civil, and social laws and rights, which we know was drawn from Bible principles, is being ignored, twisted, and manipulated to allow for most any crime to be committed without accountability or punishment, in part because we have a judicial system that is weak and favors certain skin color over others. And Lord God, too many who do call on thy name are complacent, lazy, and not wanting to cause any conflicts, just sit by the sidelines and do or say nothing. We know that your word tells us not to hearken to men more than to you, and that we must speak the things which we have seen and heard. We ought to obey you, O God, rather than men. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. O Father, guide us in thy paths of righteousness, that we might honor you and make a difference in our world for the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. I pondered and thought about doing that and realized that I needed to the exercise for myself to write it out. I write out some of my prayers, not all of them, certainly. Do you? Moses did. King David did. Daniel did. If there's a challenge for us as a church, it's to be more serious in our prayer lives, and that should work out in our daily lives. While I trust that the Lord God, who knows the hearts of all men, to do his good will as we open our hearts and minds daily to him in prayer. 2 weeks ago, we started unpacking 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Last week, we considered verse 14. We saw the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the assurance that we too will be raised someday to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, the resurrection of both the just and the unjust is a biblical reality. Jesus said so. John 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." In the first century, there were two major political religious parties among Judaism, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were sad, you see, because, well, this is what it says in Luke 20, verse 27, "Then came to him certain of the Sadducees which deny that there is any resurrection." Did you catch that? The Sadducees are sad because they deny that there's any resurrection. And they asked him a question, trying to trick him. This epistle to the believers in Thessalonica that we're looking at, 1 Thessalonians, though not exposed to the Sadducees down south in Judea, was written by the Apostle Paul in part to answer the resurrection question. That's what this is about, the resurrection question. They had missed the Apostle Paul for over a year, and some of the believers in Thessalonica, though they were young in the Lord, some had died. And what happened to them? That's why Paul writes this. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren," verse 13, "concerning them which are asleep." And we studied the word that has been translated asleep. It has to do with those who have died. Well, there is an order in the future when certain groups of humans will be resurrected. So now I'm going to do a summary, and it could take much longer than the next 10 minutes. It could take 10 weeks. But let me summarize. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, which we, of course, visited this morning in Sunday school, tells us of two groups. One is the Old Testament saints, like Daniel, those who believed God and his plan for future redemption through their Messiah. Salvation has always been by faith. And those in the Old Testament times looked forward to their Redeemer. Remember what Job said? I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand on the earth in the latter day, and I shall see him. So, Old Testament saints will be raised someday because of their belief in redemption through their future Messiah, as God said. The other group in Daniel chapter 12 are the lost of all ages, or all generations up through the future kingdom. So we have a group of Old Testament believers and a group of the lost who did not believe, who chose not to believe, who neglected the God who made them. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, as Sean just read for us. I'm sorry, I apologize. I read for us just a few moments ago. Tell of two groups. Those who will receive the resurrection of life and those who are unto the resurrection of damnation or judgment. Two groups. Our passage shows us that there will be a resurrection of those who are in Jesus, speaking of those who believe in Christ during the church age, this age. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, I left it off at concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if or since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. So there's that group that shows up in our passage, those who are in Jesus, speaking of those who believe in Christ during this age. Revelation tells us of another resurrection, the tribulation saints or believers, those who will die during the future tribulation, who have placed faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will be raised again in the future, according to the book of Revelation. So the order appears like this. Let me try to put the order together. 1 Thessalonians 4, believers in Christ will be raised at any time soon. It's next on the calendar when Jesus comes to receive us up to meet him in the air. That's the first resurrection yet in the future. That one's number one. Number two, the tribulation saints who will believe in Christ during the tribulation and have been martyred or died during that tribulation period, they will be raised when Jesus returns to earth in power and great glory after the tribulation to establish his kingdom. So there's the second group. The first two groups are believers in Jesus Christ. The first group in this age, the second group in the age to come during the tribulation. The third group are Old Testament saints. So the first three are believers, Old Testament believers, as I mentioned a few moments ago in Daniel chapter 12. When the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom, they will be given the Old Testament covenant promises throughout that thousand-year kingdom. So when Jesus comes next in the clouds to meet us in the air, there will be a resurrection of those who believe in him from this age. When he comes again and places his feet on the Mount of Olives, as Zechariah 14 and Acts chapter 1 tell us, Luke was the penman. Anyway, Acts 1 and Zechariah 14 on the Mount of Olives, there will be a resurrection of the tribulation believers, and they will be able to enter his kingdom and reign with him 1,000 years. And Old Testament saints will be raised again, and they too will be given all those covenant promises that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and the Jewish people of the past. That fourth one, are all unbelievers who have rejected God throughout all the ages. They'll be raised to face Jesus Christ at the great white throne. Revelation chapter 20. And there they will be judged for their deeds and for their rejection of their Savior, and condemned and cast into the lake of fire. That's the fourth resurrection. So that's a quick summary of Bible teachings about resurrections. Before we go on in our text, if you were to die today, which resurrection would you enjoy or face? There are two groups in view in 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, that's one group, under the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. There's two groups there. Who will meet the Lord Jesus in the air? Verse 17 tells us, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible says it. I believe it. Certainly, because the Bible says that it's so. The first will be those in Jesus who have died already. Then those who are alive or have not yet died will be caught up a few moments later to meet them in the air. Let's remember that this event will happen very rapidly. Boom. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, which Sean read for us last week, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, of course. Now that's fast. Mr. Rick Peterson just passed away a couple of days ago. And I've been assured that he is saved. Not was, is saved. Rick will be resurrected and caught up first. If I'm still alive, Rick will beat me to meet the Lord in the air. And then you and I will be next. And if we're still among the physically living in that time, that will be glory, won't it? And we call it our blessed hope from Titus chapter 2. You see, the word in our verse, we shall not, in verse 15, those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That word means to come before. It doesn't mean we'll stop them. It means we won't come before them. So we who are living will not come before or precede those who've died in Christ. That would be those who are asleep. Next week, we get to focus on verse 16. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead, those who have died in Christ, shall rise first. So that is the order in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for us. It's for believers only. Those who have passed away, who've believed in Christ during this age, will be caught up first, and then those who are still living at the time will be caught up right away after that to meet the Lord in the air. And next week we'll focus on verse 16 and all those sounds that will accompany this glorious event. There are three mentioned in verse 16. That's why I put in our bulletins, Bible-believing Christians are not looking for signs, but listening for trumpet sounds. We're listening. We're not looking for signs. They're all complete. But we're listening. Are you ready? Are you ready? If he were to come right now, would you meet him in the air? That is a challenge to all of us. I'm looking forward to it very much next week. exploring a little bit more of our blessed hope. In the meantime, between now and whenever that day occurs, I have three passages of Scripture I'd like for you to turn to. I suppose because I've been speaking and not having you join me in certain passages, your fingers are lazy. Let's loosen them up and let's go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 25, you'll recognize this. We read, Mark 14, 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily, truly, I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." I wanted to emphasize that. When Jesus introduced and instituted the Lord's Supper in the Gospels, that is stated by him. Someday he'll drink it new with us in the kingdom of God. That implies a bodily resurrection, dear friend. It's not a spiritual resurrection. It's a real bodily resurrection. And we explored that last week and the week before a little bit, that it will be a body that has been recreated, fit for heavenly living. But we'll be able to enjoy the Lord's Supper with our Lord in his kingdom. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 now. And I'd like to have you keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians 11. What does it say in verse 26? 1 Corinthians 11, 26. "For as often as ye eat this bread," this is, of course, a quote of Jesus' words in the upper room that we just read about in Mark chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death," what? "Till he come." So it's for us to do on a regular basis. We practice it once a month. Until he comes again. When he comes again, we'll do it with him anew and in his kingdom someday. And I'm looking forward to that. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 11 because we'll come back. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, some of the last words of our Bible, of course. Verse 20. I guess I'll read the last words, okay? Revelation 22, 20 and 21. This is what the Apostle John, who was in his latter years, in his 90s, exiled on the island of Patmos because of Domitian, the emperor in Rome, hating Christians. Anyway, John wrote this as God moved him. So these are inspired words of God. Revelation 22, 20. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, John wrote, "Amen, so be it. Even so come, Lord Jesus." John was looking forward to that even while he was in his 90s on the Isle of Patmos. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I hope you have that kind of anticipation based on the Scriptures that you can say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to meet you in the air." And I don't mean that in some sort of boastful way for any of us. Are you ready? I'll Fly Away. 617. Let's all stand and sing "I'll Fly Away." 617.
Two. joy shall ever.